The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 12, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshanda Sathikari, recorded on December 8th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naishkarmyam Api Achyuta Bhava Varjitam na shobate jnanam alam niranjanam kuta puna shashvat abhadram ishvare na cha arpitam karma yat api akaranam. Naishkarmyam ap yuchita bhava varjitam. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam. Nashobhyate jnanam alam niranjanam. Kutapuna shashvada bhadram ishvare. Nacharpitam karma yadapyakaranam. Naiskarmyam apyochata bhava varjitam. Nashobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Kutapuna shashvada bhadram ishvare. Nacharpitam karma yadapyakaranam. Naishkarmyam. Self-realization. Being freed from the reactions of fruitive work. Api, in spite of, Achyuta, the infallible Lord, Bhava, conception, Varjitam, devoid of, Na, does not, Shobhate, look well, Jnanam, transcendental knowledge. Alam, by and by. Niranjanam, free from designations. Kuta, where is. Puna, again. Shashvat, always. Abhadram, uncongenial. Ishvare, unto the Lord. Na, not. Cha, and. Arpitam, offered. Karma, fruitive work. Yat api, what is. Akaranam, not fruitive. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruit of activities which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also the Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above ground, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the path of perfection. Fruitive work in which almost all people in general are engaged is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord, otherwise it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead. And thus, when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagdajadam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sudaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pushchacha Desha Tadine. So here there's a comparison being made between the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the knowledge of fruitive activities in this material world. So the point is that even the Vedic literatures which describe the impersonal Brahman, they are also condemned. They're a waste of time to speculate on impersonal Brahman, to try to understand impersonal Brahman described here. Not only are ordinary mundane literatures condemned, you see, but even the Vedic literatures which speak about impersonal Brahman are also condemned. So what to speak of ordinary fruitive activities? Even the transcendental subject matter of impersonal Brahman is condemned. You see? So how much more condemned is the fruitive activities of this world? Actually, it is stated here, they are painful. Fruitive activities are painful from the very beginning. One might argue, but I thought happiness in the mode of passion was pleasant in the beginning and painful in the end. So how Bhagavatam can say that these fruitive activities are painful from the very beginning? Both conceptions are true. Because that pleasure in the mode of passion is actually painful. It's not genuine pleasure. The happiness derived from the mode of passion, although it may appear to be pleasant, it is not pleasant. It is a painful situation. In other words, any condition, whether it's sense gratification or the abnegation of sense gratification and entering into impersonal Brahman, any situation which is devoid of devotional service is a painful situation. Why is it painful? It's painful because the actual identity of the living entity is to be is the as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Swarupahai Krishnara Nitya Das. So there's only one way the living entity can be happy. The only way the living entity can be happy is if he is engaged in devotional service. Any other position, whether it's sense gratification or even the transcendental platform in personal Brahman, it is a painful situation. Therefore, we should take very seriously this path of bhakti. It's not really an option. Of course, if you don't mind suffering, then you can go on suffering. But if you want actual happiness, if you want genuine ananda, genuine bliss in your life, you have no choice except to take the devotional service. You have no choice. There's no option. There is no happiness in this material world. Doesn't exist. There's an illusion of happiness, therefore it is called Maya Sukhaya. It's an illusion of happiness. But don't think there's any happiness here. There is absolutely no happiness in this material world. Doesn't exist. We only dream that we're happy, actually. It's just a dream. We're not happy. There's no happiness here. It's a miserable place. Can a fish be happy out of the water? He thinks he's happy, doesn't he? If somebody comes up and gives him some object of sense gratification, he may think he can be happy, but actually he's not happy. He's dying. So we may think we're happy here, but it is not true. We are not happy here. We are miserable in this material existence. So we want actual happiness. We must come to the transcendental platform. We must take this pathway given by the great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gataptha pantha. We must follow this pathway of the Mahajanas. This will bring us to genuine happiness. Any other pathway besides the Acharya Marg, the pathway of the great Acharyas, is simply a dead-end street. It doesn't take us to any genuine happiness. I don't care what you do. Even if you achieve impersonal Brahman realization, become a great jnani, it is not going to take you to happiness. It is described in the Brahma Samhita. Pantasta koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayuratapi manaso munipungavanam so pasti yatra papachintya vachintya tatve govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman, or the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. Can you imagine how fruitless that is? What a waste of time it is? You see? To go on in the pathway of the jnanis, to differentiate like the jnanis, they want to differentiate between matter and spirit. You see? They go on for thousands and millions of years, and what do they get? Nothing. It's a fruitless labor, path of the jnanis. Fruitless. Shama eva hi kevalam. So if even that pathway of the great jnanis, the great transcendentalists who are following the Vedic system, even if that is a waste of time, and how much this sense gratification is a waste of time? This is the point. So we should not be deluded. We should not be misled by the material nature into thinking we can get any happiness here. We should wake up and come out of the sleep illusion, thinking I can be happy in this material existence. There's only one way to be happy, and that is to connect with Krishna. Anything besides connecting with Krishna is a miserable situation. I don't care if you're Brahmaji, the chief demigod of the whole material world, if you're not connected with Krishna, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartinarjita Mamupechirukondeya Punarjanmana Vidyate. Your position is miserable, even if you're Brahmaji, if you're not Krishna conscious. So why are we going so crazy over some position in this material existence? Why are we running mad after some position in the material world? Why are we doing this? It's simply foolishness. It's idiotic. It's lunacy to strive for some position in this material world to become happy. You cannot do it. It's impossible. But if we simply take to Krishna consciousness, my dear Lord, and now I'm your eternal servant, please engage me in your service forever, that's all. Whatever you want me to do, my Lord, I'm your servant. However you want me to think, however you want me to speak, however you want me to act, simply accept me as your puppet. You pull the strings and I will dance. However you want me to dance, I'm ready to dance. That is the position of happiness. When you place yourself completely, totally under the direction of Krishna and give up any attempt to be independent of Krishna, sarvadharman puritjaja, give up all attempts to be independent of Krishna. Just throw them away. Dump them in the Indian Ocean. Give up any attempt to be separate from Krishna. Give it up. Simply a waste of time. One business and one business only, that I must fully, completely surrender myself unto Lord Sri Krishna. Bas. That's it. Nothing else. This is what the Bhagavatam is teaching us to do. We have to understand the message of the Bhagavatam, and we have to implement the teachings of the Bhagavatam in this way. We become liberated souls. Confirmed by Rupa Goswami, Iha Yashahira Dashi, Karmana Manasagara, Nikala Swaptavastasu, Jivan Muktasu Uchate. 1.2.187, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, one who engages himself, body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord fully becomes a liberated soul, even in all conditions of material existence. It doesn't matter if you're a brahmachari living in the temple. Doesn't matter if you're a householder living at home. Doesn't matter if you're a vanaprastha living in the forest, or you're a sannyasi circling the globe. It doesn't matter what your position, you see. If you will engage your body, mind, and words 100% in the service of Krishna, jivan mukta sa uchate, you're a liberated soul. You're a liberated soul. So we have to learn this art, how to fully engage body, mind, and words 100% in the service of Krishna 24 hours a day in all times, places, and circumstances. This is what it means to be Krishna conscious. It's not just being a member of a club or a member of a movement or putting some tilak on your nose. It's changing your consciousness. It's changing your whole attitude, your whole perspective on what is real and what is unreal. And living and making your life a living embodiment of that perspective of seeing everything as the energy of Krishna, and therefore connecting everything with Krishna. You see, this is Krishna consciousness. So now I can ask if there's some questions. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals himself to Arjuna as the Supreme Lord. Why is it that in the Vedas the personality of God is not easily revealed? Well, Bhagavad Gita is also part of the Vedas. Depends on what part of the Vedas you look. There are parts of the Vedas for persons who are not interested in devotional service, at least to connect them somehow or other so they can gradually come to Krishna consciousness. That's all. Can our fate be changed by Krishna? Yes. Your fate is changed by becoming Krishna conscious. As soon as you become Krishna conscious, your fate is altered. You're no longer under the influence of your astrological chart. If you surrender to Krishna, you see, The astrological chart means the material nature. When you surrender to Krishna, now to the extent you surrender to Krishna, to that extent you're no longer under the influence of the material nature. So your fate is altered as soon as you take up Krishna consciousness. What is the difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga? Karma yoga is the beginning stage of bhakti yoga, that you engage, you act according to your karmic nature and offer the results to Krishna. In bhakti, the higher perfectional stage, you may act karmically, you may not, it doesn't matter. I may act according to my karmic nature, I may not act according to my karmic nature, it doesn't matter anymore, you see. That's higher position. But it is the beginning of bhakti yoga. You take your tendency to act in a certain way and you offer the result to Krishna. It is also bhakti, the beginning stage of bhakti. What is the significance of the spiritual master chanting on the beads of the disciple during initiation? Spiritual master, that means the beads are becoming fully spiritualized, transcendentalized, connected with the entire Guru Parampara system. That's what it means when he chants on the beads. Today we'll be doing that. There's a yajna in an hour and a half. And we'll be doing that. We'll be chanting on the beads of the new disciples. Is the deity worship of Lord Jagannath as strict as the worship of Radha and Krishna? No, it's not, but it's still a pretty high standard. The strictest standard is Radha and Krishna. Gaura-Nitya is the most lenient. So the strictest is Radha Krishna, a little less strict Jagannath, and more lenient, that's Gaura-Nitya. Sometimes I am confused between humility and cowardness. Out of humility, sometimes cowardness impersonal is perceived. No, one who is actually humble means they take complete shelter of Krishna. They are not cowardly. They're prepared to act in any way in the service of Krishna. The truly humble person, you see. If there is cowardice, it is simply due to false pride, you see. It is false pride. Genuine humility means they become the most brave person because they are putting themselves completely under Krishna's direction. It's like Arjuna and Hanuman, you see. They were humble, but they were also the bravest fighters. They were not cowardly, you see. When Arjuna became a little puffed up, thinking I'm a member of the Kuru dynasty, he became a coward. But when he became completely humble, now I give up all bodily conception, I'm just a servant of Krishna, that's when he became fully courageous. So the more you become humble, the more you become courageous. It's not like this, you become a coward by becoming humble. No, you become a brave fighter the more you become humble. Do plants have karma? No. Do animals have karma? No. Do animals like cow have karma? No. Does a newborn child have karma? Yes. Human life means karma. So if the parents feed the child meat, he gets a reaction from them. So one should take very good care to properly engage one's children in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning. Is Krishna consciousness a religion? No, it's religion, period. It's not a religion. Religion is one, surrender to Krishna. This concept of religions is a man-made conception. Krishna consciousness is not a religion, it is religion. Simple distinction. How can we convince a materialistic person that there's no happiness in material pleasures like sex? You have to be convinced. If you're not convinced, how are you convince others? Actually, there is happiness. There is a sense of happiness in sex. But it's illusory. In the material world, sex is the greatest pleasure. You see. But that is that titillation of the senses experienced in sexual intercourse is actually painful. When you compare it to the happiness of the soul in relationship with Krishna, it's a painful situation. But how will you convince others of that? Unless you are convinced, you see. Unless you are completely convinced, you can't convince anyone of this. You have to be completely convinced that there is no happiness in this material world. Or if there is happiness, it's insignificant. You can look at it in that way as well, as Bhagavatam states, Yan matanadi griyamedi sukham itu cham. That happiness which the materialists consider the number one pleasure, namely sex, is 10th class pleasure. He to chum is indeed insignificant. So even if you say there's pleasure, it's so insignificant, it's not even worth thinking about it. It's like a drop of water in the desert. If you're dying of thirst in the desert and someone comes and gives you, says, stick out your tongue, here's a drop of water. They take a little eyedropper, you're dying of thirst. They put a drop of water in your tongue, will it save you from death? It may feel good on your tongue, but it will frustrate you more than it will satisfy you. Water! But it's not enough to satisfy you. So sex is just like a drop of water in the desert. It may feel very good, but it simply makes you more frustrated. Therefore, best thing is to give up sex life. Brahmachari, that is the best thing. And house orders also, they should give up sex life. They should only have sex for producing children. After a few children, then give it up, become brahmachari. Because sex is frustrating. It gives you some artificial idea that you can enjoy this material world, but you can't. It's like a drop of water in the desert. You may think, oh, now I can satisfy my thirst, but you cannot satisfy your thirst with a drop of water. It's not possible. Therefore, do not be carried away by sex pleasure. Don't be carried away by it. Just give it up. Take it for producing children, that's all right. Whatever children you want to have, that's all right. You can have hundreds of children if you can maintain them. We have no objection. I have one godbrother, he has about, how many is that? Jagannath Charan House. I don't remember how many. About eight children. He's raising them all, about eight children he has. He's raising them very nicely in Krishna consciousness. His family is like a whole temple. And his family comes like a whole temple, a whole Sankirtan party, eight kids. And he's raising them very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So one can have many children, that's all right. If you can make them Krishna, if you can maintain them, he's an intelligent businessman, he knows how to make money. He's very smart at making money. So he can cover their material side very well, and he's very Krishna conscious also. Very nice household, Jagannath Charan, my godbrother. So if you can have 100 children, that's all right, but only have sex for procreation, otherwise brahmachari. Because sex in itself does not satisfy, it simply frustrates you. You see, it's simply frustration. So any more questions? That's it. This one I could not read. If whoever wrote this would like to write it again, you're welcome, but I can't read this. One that says, if we engage body, mind, and soul in the devotional service of the Lord, then something, something, we become liberated souls. Something, 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 something. If anybody wants to rewrite this one, you're welcome. But other than that, we can stop here. Go ahead and stop here. So everybody's invited for the initiation yajna at 9:30. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.